Amen. Can we give it up for our worship team one time? Come on, guys. Absolutely. If you didn't know, you can find some music from this team on Watermark Waves on Spotify. And they're awesome. They're crushing it. Well, guys, welcome to Wake. I am so proud of you for all enduring the cold and making it out here today. How do you feel tonight? Today? It's not a night. This is not Shoreline. It's in the morning. How are we? Good? Good. Well, guys, I want to remind you, we are going through 2 Timothy. And today, we are in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And so what I want to do is I want to read it to you. But first, I want to tell you a story about me and my life. It started for me in the third grade. In the third grade, during PE class, there was one day that our PE teacher told us that we were all going to go outside and we were going to run a mile. And that was not just to exercise. It wasn't just to run a mile, just to run a mile. But we were running a mile to see who in our grade were the top 5 fastest students. Top 5 fastest guys and the top 5 fastest girls. Because at the end of the year, we would all compete in a cross-country race in middle school. In elementary school. And so what we did, so we went out there and we all lined up and we were about to run a mile. And let me tell you, I was very nervous because at that point in my life, I had never really raced anyone and I had never run a mile. And so I had no idea if I was going to be good at this or not, if I was going to win. And I got really nervous for some reason. I really don't know why. I can't tell you. We can do a deep dive on that later. But we ran a mile and surprisingly, I was the fastest person. Thank you. And I don't say that to brag, okay? It was a surprise to me, as it was to some of you. Don't need to clap for that. But I was the fastest person. And we raced against all the other schools and all the other third graders in our area. And I didn't win, okay? I got like 15th or something. Okay? It is fine. But at that point, I started to develop a love for running. And so I started to run more and more. I started to train more and more. And the next year, we did it again in 4th grade, and I won the race. And then the next year after that, we raced again, and I won the big race again. And so we went into middle school, and we started running and training. And this is a picture of me in high school. I started running a lot. I was really small, and my teammates were even smaller. But that's me. But I started running in high school, and we started running more and more, and I started developing a love for running, and I started running more and more miles, and on weekends, I would start running about 9 miles on a Saturday in the morning. It was crazy, and we started running more and more. I started developing a love. I started growing in it, and then in high school, towards, I think it was my senior year, this was the Houston Half Marathon. And I actually ended up winning the Houston Half Marathon for 21 under. You don't need to clap. I'm not trying to brag. But I started growing in my running. I started running more and more miles, and I started loving it more and more. And I started becoming faster and faster. And then after high school, I went to college and started running in college. And this is my team and I, freshman year. The rest of them are seniors. But this is the national championships for our college. And I ran in college. I'm on the far left. Thanks for asking. But I started running more and more. We can take the picture down. But I loved running. And I started running more and more. And in college, we started running 120 miles a week. It was a lot of miles. It was a lot of running. It took a lot of time. That ended up being about 12 to 15 miles a day. And so we started running more and more. And we got better and better. And I was not the fastest one. But we grew in running, and I developed a love for running, and I did it more and more and more and more. And so what I want to do today is to illustrate that. I use that illustration to show you what 2 Timothy is talking about and what Paul is telling to Timothy. Timothy is a young believer, and Paul is encouraging Timothy in his faith. And he's saying, be strengthened in your faith. Grow in your faith and your walk with the Lord. And I want you to continue to develop a love for Christ so that you can grow and train and grow and be bigger and bigger and better and walking in your faith with strength and humility and growing in Christ. And so what we're talking about today in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I want to read it for you. What Paul says to Timothy, he says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in you, that is in Christ Jesus, that you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses. Entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules, and it is a hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. And so, what I want you to see and what we're going to point out today is Paul uses three specific examples as someone that is growing in their faith, and they're strengthened by the grace in Christ Jesus. And so two main things that I want you to see is that you are to be strengthened by grace and that you are to sacrifice for good. So there's two kind of main things, and I want you to see that we are strengthened by the grace of God, and that we sacrifice, that we suffer, that we go through hard things, that we train ourselves for a great good that is bigger than ourselves. It is bigger than you and me. And we have to be strengthened in that as we walk with the Lord. And so the first example that he says is the soldier, that a soldier does not get entangled in civilian pursuits. And what he means by this is that you would not get distracted by the things that are around you. That there are many things that the world is going to give to you that is going to be a good that you like to look at with your eyes, or that you like to run after, or that you like to talk about, things that are really a distraction for us in our lives. That it's easy to get distracted talking with our words and trying to feel better about ourselves, that we get distracted from what our main goal and what our pursuit is with the Lord. And later on, he says in verse 16, he says, but avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. That useless words, the empty words in our lives are a distraction for us, that we can be distracted by these things, and it will lead to more and more destruction. And for you in your life, as you are a believer in Christ, if you are a believer in Christ, that you are called by the Lord to be a part of this army of Christians, that you would not be distracted by the things that people that are not soldiers are distracted with, that there are other people in this world that don't believe in the same God, that they are running after something else, and that you would not be distracted by the things that they're distracted by, because it will spread like gangrene. Gangrene is a sickness in your body. So useless words, empty chatter, things that do not bring godliness are a distraction for us. The next one is an athlete that he competes according to the rules, that he honors his training, that there's no easy way to victory, that you would train to compete. That competition is not a bad thing, that you get to compete, that there is an honor in competing, especially according to the rules. That when you compete, that you don't cheat or do things halfway because there's an honor with that. And that you get to compete. When I ran track, you don't cheat, you don't cut the corners, because there is an honor with that. That if you lose, there is a new standard that you get to run after, that you get to pursue. That Philippians 3:14 says that I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ Jesus. That it's not just about winning, that it's about pursuing that which God is calling us to. My man here, when you gave the black sock, man, that was awesome. And he celebrated and was excited about it. And you didn't even win. You weren't the winner. But you got to compete, that you got to celebrate the victory. And it is about the joy of getting to compete and to train and to work hard and to not just to win. It's not just for the gold. It's not for the medals. But it's getting to compete according to the rules, that there is honor in your heart, that there is a challenge before you, and you get to overcome that challenge. That's what's so great about sports. That's what's so great about goals in your life. And so what he's saying is that it is a good for you to set goals, to have a competitive heart, that you would train and work hard, not just to win, but to succeed and to move forward and to pursue something that is higher and above yourself. The last one he uses, I want to share an example in verse 20 later on, 22. He says, now in a great house there is not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use and some for dishonorable use. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. And so what he's saying is cleanse yourself from the dishonor and the things that are not from the Lord. And you will continue to work in good works for what is honorable, what is right. And if we cheat and do not compete according to the rules, that there is dishonor in that. And he's saying, don't have that in your life. Run away from what is dishonorable so that you can compete according to the rules and press on towards the upward call. And the last one he uses is the farmer, a hardworking farmer that produces a crop. And the verse I want to show you later on is verse 15, chapter 2. He says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the work of God. And so what I want you to see with a hardworking farmer that produces crop is we are called to work hard. We're called to put our effort forward, to train. And I love what they shared here, the worship team in Romans 8, that we're called to suffer. And I know that suffering sounds really bad. It sounds just like pain. It sounds not attractive to us. But what the Bible is saying is that when you train, when you work hard, that it is good because God above is calling us to that, that it will be good for you, that it will go well in your life. And I want you to know, middle schoolers, that you are not too young to learn this lesson. You are not too young right now to learn this lesson. To be honest with you, to tell you the truth, that life is pretty easy for you. I know that there are situations out there that are hard. And for a lot of you and for some of you, there are things in your life that are not easy, that are very difficult. And I want to be sensitive to that as well. But in your life right now as a middle schooler, life's not super tough. There may be friends around you that are mean. There may be people around you that are not kind. And there may be situations at home that are not easy. And I want you to know that we see that and we understand. But I want you to know, too, that there is a lifetime ahead of you of discipline, of hard things, and of great difficulty. So life doesn't get easier. And so for you in your life right now, this is a good time for you to learn exactly what Paul is telling Timothy, that you would be strengthened in grace, that you would build up yourself, that you would run like a soldier who looks to please his commander, an athlete that competes according to the rules, that trains his body, that works hard, and a hardworking farmer that works the land, that does not take the easy way out, that it works hard. And it is not too early in your life for you to learn this, that you should be strengthened by the grace. For me, in my life, I ran after running. Literally and figuratively. But I ran after running because I loved running. And to end my career, the way that my running life ended is about halfway through my sophomore year of college. I walked into my coach's office, and he could tell that there was something going on with me that wasn't right. There was something going on in my heart and my head that wasn't solid. Something was happening. I was failing a class. The class that I was failing, ironically, was called Developing a Christian Mind. It was not good. And my coach was a believer. He believed in Christ. And he ran after the things of God. And he called me into his office, and he sat me down. And he said, Matthew 6:33, which for some reason, that was the first time I had heard that verse. And Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. And he asked me, he said, Reed, are you seeking first the kingdom of God? Is that the priority in your life? Are you doing all these things? Are you training? Are you working hard? Are you keeping yourself from distraction because the first thing that you're running after is Christ and the kingdom of God? And I said, no, I'm not. And he said, what do you need to do in order to do that? And I said, I need to quit track. I need to quit running. And he said, I don't think that's the right idea. We need you on the team. And I said, I'm sorry, coach. I need to stop running. So I stopped running. And I lived here in Dallas, and I started coming to Watermark more and more. And I started developing my faith. I started running after the Lord. And in my life, I gained, like I said, and I don't say any of this to brag, but I gained a lot of medals. And I won a lot of races. And these medals sit in my closet in this cardboard box because they mean nothing. And I trained and ran a lot of miles for these. But they don't mean anything because they are of the world. And so for you, what we want to encourage you in is there are great things. Track is not a bad thing. But we want you as students to set your mind and set your heart on the things that are from the Lord and not of this world. And in that, that you would train, that you would discipline your hearts and your minds, that you would work hard, that you would not be distracted by civilian pursuits, that you would train your body in an honorable way, and that you would work hard as working for the Lord. And in the second half of 2 Timothy 2, it says this in verse 22. It says, so flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Give nothing, have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels, and let the Lord's servant, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. So what he's saying is the grace we are strengthened by is the gospel of Jesus, that the grace that strengthens our heart is our love for the Lord. Similarly, in my pursuit of running and track, my love for running is what caused me to want to train. So we want to encourage you students with this point in your life that your love for God would encourage your heart to discipline your mind and your body. That the pursuit of holiness would come from your love for God and the truth of what the gospel is. That the grace of God that has been lavished upon you that you do not deserve. That most of you know this, that you don't deserve grace. But because you have been given grace, there is freedom for you to run after the source of grace and all that is good. And so our heart for you is that you would be strengthened by the grace, that you would run after what is from God, and that you would do it with good friends, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart, that you would not get distracted by the wrong things, that you would have nothing to do with foolish or ignorant controversies, that you would be kind and patient and gentle, and that you would trust in the Lord to escape the trap of the evil one. That there is a trap set for you, specifically you, but that you would be free from that trap because of Christ alone. So for you in your hearts, guys, I pray, my heart for you, I know Jonathan's heart for you, Luke's heart for you, AC's heart for you, your leader's heart for you, their hope for you is that you would be encouraged by the grace of God, that you would be strengthened by his word, that you would run, like he says in this, like a soldier who is not entangled with civilian pursuits, with the things that are around him that are not from God, but he would please his master. An athlete that competes honorably, that trains, that presses on towards a goal, and a farmer who works hard and produces crops. So our heart for you is that you would not be ignorant to these things, that you'd work hard for the Lord, not because it's your works that make you good, but the grace of God has allowed you the freedom to live that which is called truly life. That true life comes from the creator of life. And that's our hope for you. Bow your heads with me. We'll pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you. God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for the grace that is from Jesus. We thank you that we can be strengthened by that grace, that you have given us an opportunity to train, to run, and to work hard. Thank you for our lives that you have blessed us with. God, I pray that our life would be totally encapsulated, totally surrounded with your grace, that we would be encouraged by your love, and we'd run after you every day. Lord, we thank you and we love you. In name we pray.